And as you're standing, find the book of Colossians in your Bible. We're going to find our text tonight in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to pray, and then we'll read our text, and then I'll try to bring you up to speed on what's going on. It's a great song, Brother Ben. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise. And what a shame if we don't use the one we have to do the same. Let's pray, and then we'll read, beginning at Colossians chapter 2, we're going to pick up at verse 6. Our Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, thankful tonight for your grace and your mercy, and we pray you'll continue to bless and help us. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you, but through Christ we can do all things, and we pray that you'll help us tonight. Lord, that you'll cast aside our fears, that you'll strengthen our hearts and our resolve, that you'll bring revival to our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would guide us into all truth through your Spirit. Pray that you'll bless your word as we hear it and help me to preach it, for I'm nothing without you. And Lord, I ask that you would help us just to grow in your grace and knowledge, to increase with the increase of God, becoming the people of God you've called us to be, real disciples who are continuing, abiding in your word, bearing much fruit for your glory. Please help us, Lord. Convict our hearts tonight and help us to respond in faith and obedience, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. We've been learning a lot for weeks now. We kind of just finished up a study on making disciples. And as I was praying and trying to see God's face and where we go next, I just was overwhelmed with this. And I guess it really ties into what we learned about, especially in that personal growth. But I believe that we need to be reminded constantly of our need to grow. I'm afraid that too many times we get, I don't know how, why, but we get this sense that we're kind of comfortable where we're at. We're saved, baptized, maybe you're kids are saved, and you know that, and maybe your grandkids that are old enough are saved, and you feel pretty good about where things are at. You're not struggling with the really, really bad sins in your mind of your old life, and things are just pretty good, and we get a little comfortable. I just want to remind you tonight and over the next several weeks that we all have a lot of growing to do. Because Christ is the goal, and if we're not just like Jesus, then we haven't arrived yet. I would say that we need to grow individually, but I believe that we ought to have a desire to grow corporately as well. Amen. Every follower of Christ, unless they're cold and hard-hearted, wants to see other people come to Christ. Amen. Amen. Every follower of Jesus, everyone who's part of the body of Christ, wants to see the body of Christ grow. We want to see lost people saved. We want to see saved people identify with Jesus through baptism. We want to see saved and baptized people growing in Christ through his word and a genuine personal walk with him, an individual walk with Christ. We want to see the church grow. But we don't want just any growth. We want the kind of growth that only God can give. We don't want to just see more numbers, although we want to see more numbers. But we want to see the increase of God. Amen. Now, we're going to walk through these verses here because the main verse that I really have on my heart is way down at verse 19, but we want to get the context. So look back with me again at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And if you haven't read Colossians lately, you ought to go back and read it even tonight before you go to bed. But get this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Stop right there. Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? How did you do that?
By faith.
By faith. you received Christ by grace through faith, right? The only way anybody can. So as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you've been saved by Jesus through his grace, by grace through faith, then you ought to walk in Jesus by grace through faith. You guys see it? It's by grace. It's not something you could do. Even your walk with Christ isn't you, it's him. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than everybody yet, but it wasn't me, it was him, it was his grace. Okay? And we do that being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And it's really important that you catch this analogy that he gives here. We're going to see two main analogies that kind of flow through the New Testament. Here's one where it's rooted and built up in him. What is rooted in the world today? What's rooted? Somebody please say plants. Can somebody say plants? Plants are rooted, right? I don't know what happens at your house, but the rocks don't have roots, even though it seems like they do. It seems like rocks grow at my house. Anybody else live where the rocks grow? But they don't really. They're just there. But what has roots are plants. The seed is planted, the roots go down, the plant comes up, and when things are right, it bears fruit. Okay, so the language here is a plant. The analogy is a plant, rooted and built up in him, grown up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. So you're taking the things that God has shown you from his word, the things that you've learned from him, and you are established in those things. You have a strong foundation because you've got deep roots. Amen. Okay, now let's get this. Beware. What does it mean when you see the word beware? When's the last time you saw that word outside of the Bible? On a fence. That's right. Sunday afternoon, we went door to door, and invariably there is somebody who has a fence and a sign that says, beware of dog. And that's the one I let the kids go do. Just kidding. I don't really do that. When you do door to door, you learn to do the fence rattle. You got to rattle the fence and see if Fido's there to chew your leg off or not. Okay? So beware. That means look out. It means that there's danger. We just kind of read over this sometimes, but when he says beware, that's what he means. He means look out. There's serious danger here. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Man's philosophy is dangerous. Amen. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In everything that God is in Christ. Everything that God is in the Father. Everything that God is in the Spirit. They are three complete in one. Okay? So the Godhead, Christ is all in all. And ye are complete in him. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many trespasses? What's that leave out? Hey, guys, if he didn't forgive all of them, then we wouldn't be saved. Amen. If he left one, but he's forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's the law. Amen. The law is good when you use it lawfully to bring you to faith in Christ. The law is against you. The law shows your guilt and your condemnation. And Jesus took that law and he nailed it to his cross so it can't harm you anymore. It can't condemn you anymore. It has no power over you anymore. It can't say, look at this sinner, because Jesus nailed it to the cross. He took it out of the way. And having spoiled Man, I love this. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. What is this spoiling? That's war language. That's victory. When you fight against your enemies and you win, you get the spoils of war. Well, Jesus went to war for you and for me when he died on the cross, and there they thought they defeated him. But what he did was he triumphed over them in the cross. Where they thought he was defeated, he defeated them. Where death might have thought death won, death was defeated. Where the devil might have thought that he won, the devil was defeated. Where sin might have thought that it won, sin was defeated. All principalities and powers. Listen, you think that when the world went dark, when Christ gave up the ghost on the cross, you think that the principalities and powers, the wickedness of this world, don't you believe that they rejoiced in that time? That in their sick and twisted and wicked minds, they thought that they had won some victory? And Jesus triumphed over them in the cross. Friends, this is, and there's so much here and it's so rich, this is what Christ has done for you.
Amen.
This is what he's done for you. Whoever receives him, he's done all of these things. You are complete in him. You've been circumcised with the circumcision of the heart. The sins have been put away from you by Christ. You were buried with him by baptism into death. You've been raised with him from the dead. This is your salvation, that the old man is dead and the new man is risen to walk in newness of life. This is what Christ has done when you received him, and you received him the only way anyone can, by faith. John 1, verses 9 to 13. You guys remember John 1 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came to bear witness of the light. And he wasn't that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. And here we see in verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, the true light, was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who, what's it say? Can you all say the word?
Believe.
Believe. To them who believe. To them who are good? No. To them who go to church? No. To them who are baptized? No. To them who do good works? No. Listen, I know you guys in the room know this, and most anybody in the world who would ever tune in to our YouTube channel knows this, but there are so many people in the world who don't know this. Some of you saw the clip of President Trump sometime, I don't know, in the last couple of years, somebody sitting down talking with him, and he told them that if he was a good person, he would be able to go up there, get to heaven, if he was just a good person. I got news for President Trump. He's not a good person. None of us are. And nobody's getting to heaven by being good. No, it's to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. What do I got to do? You got to believe. Well, what about? I don't care what about. There is no what abouts. What are you going to add to Christ, the Son of the living God, dying for you and rising again? You can't bring anything to the table to add to that. And when you try to, it's offensive to God. So it's not Christ plus anything. It's Christ alone. I'm trying to tell y'all good news tonight. To them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What's that mean? It means that because God loved us, he sent Jesus, who is the light, to every man in the world. And if he had not done that, no one would be saved.
Amen.
It wouldn't be. It's not in us. Our nature is to rebel against God. Our nature is to go into the darkness because we hate the light. But God loves us so much, he brought the light anyway. And whoever believes, he gives power to receive. So what's the thing we need to do? Number one, we need to receive Christ. We need to receive Christ. That's it. How do I do that? Well, you believe. Repent and believe. Turn away from your sin and unbelief. Trust in Christ alone. Call on his name. Receive Christ. So the question I want to ask one more time, have you received Christ? So are all these things back in Colossians chapter 2 where we read verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, down through there, where we get through 12, 13, 14, 15, all of those verses, all of the things that it talks about there, are those true in your life because you believed in Jesus? Are they? Have you been raised to new life? Has he taken away all of your sins? Has he made you alive through his Spirit? Amen. Well, if that's true, then you ought to walk in Christ. We already saw back at verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Rooted, built up, and established in the faith. We've already saw that to walk in Christ, we got to be rooted and built up and established. And then we saw in verses 8 and 9 that we've got to beware of these false teachers. Beware of the deceivers. Beware of man's philosophy that'll take you away from the truth. So we want to stay in the truth. We want to walk in Christ. We have to walk in truth. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Amen. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. I told you there were two analogies. The first analogy is the plant analogy. It's the seed and the soil and the harvest. The second analogy is the body. It's anatomical. Christ being the head. Why? Because he is above all things. Because Christ is all in all, he has the preeminence. He is before all things, he is above all things, and he is the ruler of all things. He is the king of all the kings. He is the Lord of all the lords. He is the Almighty, the creator of everything, and so he is the head. And there are people who would come in and beguile you of your reward. There are people who would come in and judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or new moon or Sabbath days. And there are people who will come in and they will try to bring you back under the law and take you away from the liberty that you have in Christ. We see it all through the New Testament, don't we? The Judaizers came to Galatia and they said, it's really great that you Gentiles believe in Jesus. That's wonderful. Now you have to get circumcised so you can really be saved. You guys remember that? And they sent all these people to Jerusalem to have a council to determine whether that was so and how to deal with that. You don't have to be circumcised to be saved. You believe in Jesus. And there was this problem at Colossae and other churches too. As a matter of fact, Brother Ben's going to preach about it from Romans 14, some of these very same things where people are coming in and they're trying to oppress people's liberties in Christ. And what it really is I'm going to put you back under the law. Well, you can't be a Christian. I mean, you don't even observe the Sabbath day. You can't be a Christian. I saw you buy ham at the store the other day. Right? I didn't see it, but I'm sure Mike got some ham. Amen. People do this all the time. We take our rules that we have in our own mind, our ideas, our traditions. Traditions, you guys read that word? The rudiments, the traditions of men. And we take these rules and regulations that we brought up, most of them completely outside of the Bible, some of them somewhat derived from the Bible but misunderstood, and then we try to put them on people. I was listening to a sermon, and it made a great point. Somebody said, well, we can't do that because we're Christians. Let me help you out. You're not a Christian because of what you do or don't do. If you're a Christian, it's because you believed in Jesus. That's it. Now, are there certain ways that Christians ought to live in the world? Yeah, we're talking about walking in Christ. But we want to walk in Christ, not walk under the rules and regulations of man. Amen. It's legalism. We got no place for that. So what happens? Well, the reality of it is it's summed up, I think, at the end of verse 18. They're vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds. I'm a better Christian. I'm more spiritual because I don't do the things that you do, or I do things that you don't do. Comparing ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. And what's wrong with them? Well, they're not holding on to Jesus. Verse 19. They're not holding on to him. They're holding on to their rules and regulations and traditions. They're holding on to the rudiments of this world. They're holding on to empty philosophies. And they're not holding on to Christ. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Everything. It has everything to do with it. Because it's from Christ that the whole body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. And we studied the same parallel to this in Ephesians 4 multiple times lately. You can go back and read it later. But God wants us to be built up as a church, but we don't build the church, he does. Amen. I'm pretty sure that's what he said in the very beginning. I will build my church. Amen. So we don't build the church. He builds the church. Does he use us to do it? Absolutely. But he's the one that builds the church. So walk in Christ, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Beware of the deceivers and be nourished, knit together, and increased by Christ. Well, how am I going to be nourished, knit together, and increased by Christ? I have to abide in him. Amen. We're going to mix our analogies a little bit now. I want to take you back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, find verse 14. Jesus had given the parable to a group of people. You guys remember that? The sower went forth, and what did he do? The sower sowed. That's right. And the fisherman fished. And the carpenter carpented. I don't know if that's a word or not. Doesn't matter. So the sower went forth to sow, and he scattered the seed in the field. They tell me that back in those days, that, you know, around here, we have fences for everything, right? Everybody's property is cut off by a fence. Back then, they didn't have very much of that. Maybe a little stone fence here or there, but usually just some kind of landmark. And so the fields were really common. Everybody kind of stayed in their place, but the seed went everywhere. And in the middle of these fields, the common fields, there were pathways. Just a path that somebody might walk through to get from one field to another, or to take a shortcut from one highway to another. Not a highway, just a path. And then one corner, there might be a little rocky outcropping. In another corner, it might have been somewhat neglected, and there might be some thorns and thistles that are growing there. But the sower goes out and he sows the seed everywhere. And some of it falls on the pathway, the wayside, and it's trodden. People walk on it. Some of the seed falls on the stony ground. And some of the seed falls where the thorns grow up and choke it out. But some of the seed falls on the good soil. So what's the parable? What is the parable? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, whom when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and it bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I've asked you guys multiple times tonight if you've received Christ. That means that if you have received Christ, then according to this parable, when the word of God found your heart, it found good ground, soil where the word went in and took root and grew up into life everlasting. Is that true? So you received it, and it's grown. Now, when the sower sowed seed, his goal was not to have the birds snatch it away. His goal was not to throw it on the rocks so it wouldn't grow up and wouldn't have root. His goal was not to throw it in a place where the thorns would choke it out. His goal was to put it in the good ground, and not just to put seed in the ground, but that it would grow and bear fruit. Okay? They tell me that this parable was probably describing barley or wheat. So we go back to Colossians chapter 2, and we see, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. What happened to the one on the stony ground? Well, it doesn't have any root. The roots stay really close to the surface, and so it has no ability to endure persecution and affliction. So when that comes, it's gone. We have to have roots in Christ. Our roots, listen to me, our roots can't just be in the church. Our roots have to be in Christ. Our roots can't be wrapped around a pastor or a teacher or a family member. Our roots have to be in Christ. Why? Listen, this church has been here for a long time, and I praise God for it, but churches don't last forever. Amen. Local churches don't last forever. Amen. We hope that they will. We pray to God that this church that began here in Muldrow in 1965 will be here until Christ comes again. We pray for that. We hope for that. Pastors come and go and die. Family members come and go and they die. Teachers come and go and they die. Are you understanding the theme here? If your roots are in and bound up in anyone but Christ, it's not going to last. And you know what I'm talking about because you've seen it. Somebody's roots are wrapped up in the pastor. When the pastor's gone, they're gone. Somebody's roots are wound up at grandma who taught them the Bible. And thank God grandma taught them the Bible. But when grandma goes, they go. Your roots have to be in Jesus. Amen. Or you will never grow. So he gives us this picture. And then he gives us another analogy. And I'm going to talk more about this later as we study through this for a few weeks. But I read in my Bible about John the Baptist when he was born. And as he began his life, the Bible says that he grew and waxed strong in spirit. And I read about our Savior as a child, that he grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Those boys, when they came into this world, they grew. And Jesus gives us this picture of the body. And just like a child's body has to be nourished, has to be cared for, and it has to be developed to grow, so do we. individually and as a church, corporately. We have to be connected and gain nourishment from Him. It's from Him. And He does that through each other. Verse 19, back in our text, one more time, and not holding the head. These false teachers do not hold on to Christ, from which the whole body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. This church will not grow if we're not rooted in Christ. I told you before about the tourists visiting a village, and there was an old man sitting by a fence, and the tourists came by and kind of patronized the old man, asking him if any, hey, old timer, any great men ever been born in this village? And the old man never missed a beat. He said, no, only babies have been born here. You know, we all start there, right? And we have to grow. All right. Most of you have been involved with raising kids. Not everybody, but the vast majority of you have at least seen that in some capacity. We've all enjoyed watching Ivy grow. Amen. Such a happy kid. And she gets, at least when I see her, she's happy. We remember that, right? Bring your kids home or have them at home. I don't know. Those babies require nourishment. They got to be fed. They got to be clean. They got to be taken care of. And then you blink from the time they're this big. You remember holding them, trying to be careful, don't let their head fall off? Remember those days? And then you blink and they're sitting up. And the next thing you know, they're crawling. Some of them are special and they crawl backwards first. And the next thing you know, you look again and they've pulled up on a piece of furniture and they're standing there taking their first little wobbly steps. And a few seconds later, they're holding on to your finger and you're leading them around everywhere. And before you know it, you're racing them in the parking lot. And they're winning. This is the picture that God gives us. That the plants and the growth of a child, and God has given you life because you believe, and He wants you to grow and develop in Him. So I pray that God will work in our hearts and help us to do just that. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Merciful Father, I pray that You would give us a desire to walk in Christ, to be rooted and grounded in You, and to be connected to You, abiding in You, nourished by You, so that we can grow. Lord, I pray that You'll convict our hearts tonight. It's not likely that anyone in this room or watching online could say tonight, I am growing in Christ as much as I possibly could. We all fall short. And some of us haven't grown in years. Some of us haven't grown in weeks or months or days. But Lord, give us a heart and a desire to grow every day. Not our own growth, not our own making, but the increase of God. Please convict us. Help us to respond tonight in faith and obedience, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.